Web Services.
Welcome to another episode of the Cloudonaut podcast. My name is Michael.
And my name is Andreas.
And we are two brothers and freelancers, and we focus on AWS. This means we do technical coaching for our clients. We also do infrastructure bootstrapping for clients, and usually we use our open source templates for that. And besides that, we create podcasts and blog posts and all kinds of things for our listeners and readers. And in this podcast, we every other week, we discuss a topic that is, of course, related to AWS. And the interesting thing here is that only one of us knows what the topic is going to be. So in this case, Andreas prepared a topic for us. So I don't know what we are going to talk about this week. So let's ask Andreas the first question. So what are you actually going to talk about today, Andreas?
So today we talk about 10 success factors for starting your cloud journey. So which means I have packed my experiences with different companies and organizations that started with cloud and got that together and wrote down 10 success factors that I want to talk about today.
Okay, that sounds very interesting, Andreas. So one last note before we start. So each podcast comes with a blog post as well, and you will find the link in the show notes. So if you want to dive a little bit deeper into the topic, so if you want to send this to someone else, feel free to check out the link in the show notes where we link the blog post. So I think that's it, Andreas, we can start. So let's talk about the 10 success factors that you identified.
Okay, let's talk about the first success factor for your cloud journey. And this is what I've titled Explain the Why. So why is adopting cloud technology important for your business? So explain that to every part of your organization. This is important because often that is missing. So not everyone is on the same board. Not everyone understands why this is so important for you. And I came up with a few examples that could be the why you are moving to the cloud. So one is the global infrastructure. So AWS provides data centers all over the world that you can use very easily compared to building your own data centers worldwide. Another thing is automation. So AWS provides a lot of tools that allow us to increase the level of automation a lot. And this could be an important why as well. Another example is the technology. So AWS offers stunning services in big data, machine learning, and many important areas. So it's another reason to move to the cloud is that you can leverage these services. Or last but not least, maybe another example is pay-per-use. So with the cloud, we only pay for the infrastructure that we really use, which means we can scale up and down the infrastructure. And also by doing that, only pay for what we really use to run our workloads.
Yeah, so those are great examples, Andreas. So because I also see, so sometimes companies explain the why very, very high level. And it's sometimes so high on such high level that you really cannot really break it down into what it actually means for the people in the organization. So for example, another why could be you want to increase your agility. So that's a great why, but I think the examples that you showed they all kind of go into this direction, like automation increases agility, but automation is definitely a clearer example of why this is important instead of, okay, we have to be more agile. So that's a very concrete example. So that's great. Thanks for that. So what's the next success factor you identified?
Okay, so a lot of the organizations that I have seen adopting cloud and AWS in specific, what they do is they form a team of subject matter experts. So they bring together people that really want to dive into this new technology, and they build them as a team that has all the knowledge in the organization to start with the first cloud projects. And I've seen that a very, very powerful way to adopt the new technology. So a few things when building that subject matter expert team is, first thing I think is diversity matters. So when you bring up that or we form that group, make sure you have people in there from different backgrounds. So that is very, very important. And then maybe a few things that you can keep in mind when choosing candidates. So I think it's very important that the candidates are curious about new technologies in general and in cloud in particular. So that is important. It also helps a lot if the candidates have deep knowledge about the on-premise infrastructure and the applications that you operate there. So because they need that knowledge to be able to build the infrastructure in the cloud. So that is very, very helpful. It's also important that you find candidates that are open-minded, that are creative when it comes to solving challenges. So I think that is the three most important aspects when looking for candidates to form this first team that will start the cloud journey and will build up all that expertise at the beginning. Another thing that is maybe not required, but is definitely a plus, is look for people that are speaking a programming language or that have expertise in Linux or Unix-based systems, because that is what we usually do in the cloud. So that is, I think, that is the aspects that you have to look for when choosing the candidates. And it's when you do that and then you start a team and you make sure that they get on track, you invest in training and coaching of this team. And then it is important that you keep in mind that all these team members have a reason to stay with your organization, because there are great opportunities everywhere and headhunters are waiting on LinkedIn and so on, and they will watch for those subject matter experts that you are building up. So make sure that all of those team members have a reason to stay with your organization, however you do that. And I think one important aspect of starting your cloud journey is you typically change the way you think about outsourcing your IT infrastructure, because many organizations have outsourced most parts of IT. And I think with their journey to AWS, it is also very important that you outsource the boring parts of IT, so data center, all that stuff, but you insource that knowledge that you definitely need to operate those systems so that you can improve them, so that you can adapt them to your needs of your organization. So think of that as well. And one more thing regarding that first group or the first team of subject matter experts is what I've seen in some organizations is that they are taking cell division as an example to spread the knowledge from this initial subject matter expert team into the organization, which means after the team has done some cloud projects, let's say they do 5 cloud projects, after that, you split the team in half and add other people to those 2 new teams that you now have and let them do another, 3 or 5 projects. And then you split those 2 teams again. So by doing that, you can spread the knowledge into the organization. So that is what can be very successful as well. It has some challenges, but it's at least something to think about.
Yeah, so I agree with the cell division approach. So this is really a powerful approach that we see that is working. But one thing that you really have to understand with this approach is that is exponential. So it might seem very slow at the beginning, but it will be very fast at the end. Because, you double the number of teams every time. So you have to. You have to be patient, but at the end, all you people will be part of such a team. So we saw organizations that get very nervous after the first 3 or 4 batches because it's still not so many people trained. But then like the next two rounds really, and then the number grows, and then it starts to make sense for everyone watching. Okay, so what's the next point or success factor you identified, Andreas?
So the next one is invest in training and coaching. So I think that is really a key aspect. So AWS offers a wide variety of services and features, and it is a huge challenge to get started. And from what I have observed, it is really, really important to invest in training and coaching at the beginning, because it avoids costly mistakes within the first projects. So what are, I think it is powerful to start with essential learning experiences. So there are classroom trainings provided by AWS. So the most important course is called Architecting on AWS, and I can recommend this 3-day course, on-site course. There are also workshops. There are consulting agencies that offer workshops that you can customize to your needs that help your teams getting started. For example, our consultancy, Wilix, is offering such workshops. Then, of course, there are books that you can use to get that that first learning experiences into your team. This is, for example, our book, Amazon Web Services in Action, that has been published by Manning. This is really a book that helps you to get started, to get an overview, to learn the basics. Or if another thing is online courses. So there is a popular platform that is called Cloud Guru. And for example, they have a course that they call AWS Certified Solution Architect. And this is a course that also helps you to gain an overview of the AWS platform, that helps you to get started. And I think it is important to offer different options of training for your team, because not everyone learns the same way. Some people prefer books and they learn in silence. Other prefer interaction with other people, so maybe a classroom training or workshop is more suitable for them. So just make sure that you have different options available. And then I think it is important to understand that this is not enough. So a 3-day training or an online course will not teach everything that is really needed to get your first project done on AWS. So what I've seen, what is really powerful is get a technical coach that accompanies your team for the first maybe 12, maybe even to 24 months. So the coach is there to guide your team. It does not take over the implementation. It just guides your team in the right direction, helps them to avoid costly mistakes, shows them options that they can choose from, and helps a little bit with deciding which option works best. So we have done that for various organizations, so very small ones and big enterprises in Germany. So this coaching approach is what we also get the feedback is very helpful for organizations to deepen their knowledge and also to learn on the job. So while working on your first projects, have someone there that helps you to learn the details that you need to tackle the challenges that are on your way.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I can also or what I wanted to add is that if you think about how long does this take to train all the people in the organization, yes, it will take some time, but this problem is not unique to your organization. So everyone that moves into the cloud has to kind of find a solution for this problem. So you are not slower than the others doing this. So everyone has or needs to invest time in this training approach. And the question is, how effective is the time spent? So that's why I would encourage everyone to make sure that they don't think about training in a way that wastes time. It's basically the foundation that you create for the cloud journey. So if you think you are smart and you kind of cut this in half to be faster, so this will very likely not work. And at the end, you will spend much more time than all your competitors that spend more time in training. So don't think about this as something that slows you down. Think as something that you have to invest in, and then at the end it will make you even faster. So that's kind of the way that I like to see or talk about training.
Yeah, so it's an investment, and it pays off in the end. So as typically all investments do, right? So that is the deal. I think it's also important when we talk about training and coaching. So on the job market, it is almost impossible to find candidates that come with AWS experience, because everyone is looking for those candidates right now. So I think investing in training and coaching is also the only option that you really have to build a big base of people that can do your cloud projects. Okay, so let's talk about the next success factor. So this is a little bit more technical, but I think it's really important, and I've titled it Keep the Network Simple. So a big challenge doing your first cloud project is the network. So you have the option to connect your AWS network with your on-premises network. So this is possible. So AWS offers side-to-side VPN, dedicated network connections, and so on. But the problem with that is doing so increases the complexity of your cloud journey a lot. So you will spend easily 2 or 3 months with that problem of connecting those two networks with each other. You have to deal with the teams that do your on-premise network, that do security in this network. You have to do firewall changes, routing, peering. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and also a lot of dependencies to other parts of your organization. So that is why I highly recommend that you start the first cloud projects with only internet-facing endpoints. So don't connect your on-premise network with AWS at the beginning, at least. For example, start with a website, a web application, a REST API, something like that. And if there is data exchange needed between on-premise systems and the systems that are running in the cloud, then implement public endpoints. So implement a REST API, a gateway, a data gateway, something like that, which uses strong encryption and authentication, but which exchanges data over a public internet connection. So that really helps a lot to get started. You cannot think about the hours and weeks and days of wasted time when starting with network right from the beginning. Really don't do that at the beginning. It helps you a lot to get started.
Yeah, so I can only recommend this approach. So we see so many clients that peer their networks, and it is much easier if you don't peer the networks, and it also is much cheaper. So you pay a pretty high tax for traffic if you peer your networks. So for almost I know the arguments why they want to peer the networks and stuff like this, but it's really we see also people doing it in another way, and they usually are more flexible and faster than the ones who peer their networks. So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's really the performance of the organizations that don't start with network is typically much, much higher than those who do. And you can also think about it. So AWS is very successful. And how do they operate? So they offer a public-facing REST API for their services. That's what AWS is doing. That's what makes them successful. So why don't copy that for your own organization? Okay. So then let's talk about the next success factor. So this is what I call focus on security from the beginning. So security is an important topic on premises, and it is in the cloud. And the problem is a little bit, it's also a little bit complicated in the cloud to get security right. So therefore, my recommendation is that you really have security as a priority from the beginning. So it might slow you down a little bit because you have to learn about that topic at the beginning. But the problem is it is often very, very hard to undo wrong decisions that are caused by time pressure or missing knowledge at the beginning. So therefore, my recommendation is that you focus on security from the beginning. Make sure that you implement that correctly. So it is probably advisable to have an expert in AWS security that helps you in the beginning. And also very important is focus on the basics and don't buy any products that promise to solve all your security problems, because usually it's just snake oil. Yeah, it doesn't work. It's just costing you money. It doesn't secure your infrastructure. So what are the important basics that you need to do right is you need to do implement least privilege for administrating and accessing your AWS resources. This is a very, very important topic. It's typically also the hardest, because it's a new topic that no one knows about when starting the cloud journey, because it's something unique to the cloud and it's also unique to AWS. So invest into that. Make sure you build knowledge in that area. Bring someone in that has already done that before so that you don't have to start from the beginning. Second is automate rolling out virtual machine images for patching, for example, or also, of course, secure your network in the cloud. So these are the absolutely basics. Get them done. And then if you have done that, you can think about more advanced security stuff. But typically, it's already hard to implement those basics. So please, please start with them before you do anything else.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we also see sometimes that the basics are kind of neglected, and instead people implement like stuff that is just way ahead of what they're doing at the moment. So they have big holes in their systems, and because of IAM permissions, but they have like fancy systems that do some checking of their like network traffic or things like this. So yeah, and at the end, like the data center door is open because of the IAM permission. So that's really important to get this right. And it's also like the hardest part is IAM in AWS. So make sure that you spend some time on getting this right. Yeah, that's important.
Okay, the next success factor is managed services first. So that is especially important if you do lift and shift projects. Because typically what your team wants, they might come up with the idea, we just replicate the on-premise infrastructure with virtual machines. So we just do a one-to-one migration of all the virtual machines that are running on-premises, and we just spin them up in the cloud. So that it's possible to do that, but it's actually, in my opinion, it's not worth the effort. Yeah, because you don't gain anything by doing that. You can then just leave your stuff running in the data center. So instead of that, make sure that you leverage the managed services offered by AWS, because that's really the game changer when moving to the cloud. Make sure you have to manage only a very, very few EC2 instances, virtual machines, and instead of that, use those managed services. For example, use RDS, which offers managed databases, or use ElastiCache, which offers managed in-memory databases like Memcached and Redis. There's Elasticsearch, offered as a managed service and search and analytics engine, or there's ELB, which offers managed load balancers. So make sure that you keep the team on track, that they use managed services instead of spinning up their own stuff on EC2 instances. So actually, launching an EC2 instances should be the last thing you do. If there's no other way to do it on AWS, then do it like that, but don't do otherwise. And that's also important for, please do not build your own Kubernetes or OpenShift cluster on AWS. Use a managed container service for that. We have seen so many organizations doing that, and I've seen no organization that was successful with that approach. So use the managed services to do that. This is a complex thing. It doesn't bring any value to your organization. Use managed services instead. That's really an important success factor.
Okay, so what's next, Andreas? What's the next success factor you identified?
Okay, the next three success factors are technical, but I think they are very important. So the next one is leverage infrastructure as code. So automation is really the game changer when migrating to the cloud, when moving to the cloud. Automation increases speed, it increases quality, and the question is, how can you do that? And one approach is you use infrastructure as code, which means you automate managing your cloud infrastructure. There is an investment. You have to invest to learn that new thing. You have to invest in writing your infrastructure in code, but it pays off 100 or 1,000 times at the end. So in my opinion, there are only a few choices of tools that you can choose from. So one is AWS CloudFormation. So this is the infrastructure tool offered by AWS. And the other one is Terraform by HashiCorp. So these are the most important tools that you can choose from. And maybe you can think about using AWS CDK, the Cloud Development Kit, or Pulumi, which is built on top of Terraform partly. So, but the main important stuff is CloudFormation and Terraform, and you can think of CDK and Pulumi, but don't think about anything else, please. And then also an important thing to know is there are production-ready modules available that you can use. You don't have to reinvent the wheel when building your cloud infrastructure. For example, you can check out our CloudFormation templates or modules. We will link them in the show notes. There are also modules available for Terraform, open source ones. So don't start and don't do anything on your own. Use these modules that are available. Okay, so that is leverage infrastructure as code. The next one is, success factor is level up by using containers. So when you have invested in automating your cloud infrastructure, you have one more task to do. This is automate the insides of your machines as well. So, and a very helpful tool for doing that is to switch from virtual machines to containers, because the tools that come with container technology help you very much to automate provisioning, configuring the machine and the application that you want to run on top of them. And the good news is AWS comes with first-class support for containers, so it's getting easier and easier to just use containers instead of virtual machines. And I really recommend using containers for lift and shift projects as well as for greenfield projects, so because it really helps you get started. And in our opinion, the best choice to run containers on AWS is to use the Elastic Container Service, ECS, and Fargate. And if you are interested in that approach, we have a book and online seminar called Rapid Docker on AWS, which is the perfect way to get started with that topic.
Yeah, so I agree with this with your success factor, Andreas. So the cool thing about containers and Docker containers in particular is that they work locally, they work in your data center, they work on AWS, they also work on other cloud vendors. So they provide you a lot of flexibility. The like ecosystem and the developer tools are amazingly stable. So this is technology that's around for a while. So you will find, basically you will find answers to all your questions by searching the internet. So this is really a technology that is proven, it's stable, and it helps to also speed up the like development, like the flow from development of something to turn it, move it into production in a replicable way. Yeah,
that is true. Yeah. Okay, so the last success factor is build deployment pipelines. So this is really the last aspect of automation. So automate the process of deploying changes to your cloud infrastructure and applications. So doing that in an automated way, again, increases quality, it increases speed, and it decreases risks and failures. And I've observed that with my very, very first cloud project that we have been doing, and I'm observing that in every organization that we work with. So building these deployment pipelines is really, really powerful. And it also helps you to spread the knowledge of how to deploy a change, because typically there's only one person that really needs, really knows how to deploy your cloud infrastructure or how to deploy a new version of your application. And that shouldn't be the case, because you shouldn't rely on a single person for being able to do so. And therefore also automating that whole process is very, very powerful, because then anyone can actually deploy a change. So how does that work? How do you build a deployment pipeline? So a typical approach is you use source code control, for example, Git, to store the application source code as well as the infrastructure as code. And then you have a CI/CD, which is continuous integration, continuous deployment tool that deploys the application as well as the infrastructure automatically when there is a change in your source code. And the last step is to implement automated tests, and that is on all levels. So you have unit tests, integration tests, infrastructure tests, and maybe many, many more, depending on how much risk you can take for deploying a change into a system. And I think that is also a really, really important success factor, is to build those deployment pipelines. Of course, again, this is something you have to invest in. So there's a lot of things to learn, because that's typically something that teams don't know about yet. And it's also, there's a lot of things to do with, for example, the automated tests. But in the end, I haven't seen an organization where this hasn't paid off. So this really pays off. It helps you to increase agility. It helps you to decrease risk, which is also important.
Yeah, so that's really something that I can highlight as well. And I can also what I want to add is that it is really easier to start with the pipeline, and it's harder to add the pipeline later. Because if you start with the pipeline, so everything is built in a way that works with automation. And if you automate the stuff afterwards, you will run into many, many issues, and it will take much longer than if you would start with the pipeline from day one. Okay, Andreas. So if I counted correctly, then those are the 10 success factors. So I think it's time for a wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah, so the 10 success factors that we have discussed now is what I and also Michael, what we have learned by accompanying medium-sized business enterprises in their transformation projects. So this is what we have seen in the real world. And let's go through those 10 success factors again very quickly. So first is explain the why. So why is your cloud journey important to your organization? Explain that to everyone in your organization, not only the people involved, but all of them. Next thing is form a team of subject matter experts. We have discussed what is important to do so. Invest heavily in training and coaching. This is what will differentiate you from your competitors. So really invest into your people, invest into the knowledge they have about your cloud provider. Next one is more technical, is keep the network simple. So at least for your first two or three projects, avoid peering your on-premise network with AWS, because it's really, really decreasing the complexity a lot. Focus on security from the beginning. Make sure that this is a priority from the start. Use managed services instead of provisioning EC2 instances and do everything on your own, especially for all database-related services. Use the managed services that are provided by AWS. Next one is leverage infrastructure as code. So make sure you automate the management of your cloud infrastructure. Then level up by using containers. So instead of using virtual machines, switch to using containers to deploy your application and to automate the process. And last but not least, build deployment pipelines. So automate the process of deploying your infrastructure as well as your applications to the cloud. And those 10 success factors, I think, are very, very crucial for a successful cloud journey. And that means I sum it up with all the best for starting your cloud journey.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andreas. So this was very a helpful overview of what's important. And to everyone out there, so if you are thinking about starting your cloud journey, or if you already started your cloud journey, and if you need some help with the topics that we discussed, feel free to reach out to us. So we are here to help you with all those topics. Besides that, if you are interested to go into or level up and start using containers on AWS, we have a online seminar that starts on February 3rd. So what is the online seminar about? So it is a 4-week seminar, and it starts on February 3rd. So there will be up to 20 people in the seminar, and they all learn the same topic, which is how to Dockerize an application and how to run it on AWS. So they all have the same goal, and you will be able to interact with the other learners. So you can do this by, so we have a discussion board where you can like ask your questions and answer questions of other people 24/7. We also have weekly question and answer sessions in a like online, like a video meeting. So this is really to help you to interact with others, so that you are also more motivated to achieve the goal. And the interesting part here is that every one of the participants come with their own application that they Dockerize, which means you will not only understand your particular application and the problems that are needed to be solved with your application, but you also get an idea of what issues other people faced and how they solve them. So you also learn from the other participants of the seminar. So besides the like working on your own application and interacting with the other people, you also get content from us. So you get a written word, you also get videos and screencasts that are released in regular intervals. So we step by step make sure that you can Dockerize your application, that you can deploy it on AWS. And last but not least, we make sure that you have a deployment pipeline for this application. So basically, we follow all the success factors that we identified today, and you can apply them to an application and make sure that they run Dockerized on AWS. So to sum it up, the seminar starts on February 3rd. Check out the offering and join the seminar if you want to level up. So that's it. I think, Andreas, is there something that you want to add?
Yeah, two more things. So if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, search for Cloud On Out wherever you listen to your favorite shows and subscribe to not miss the next episode. And also please review our podcast on Apple Podcast or send us feedback via email or Twitter. You will find all the links in the show notes. So that's it. Bye.
Bye, and see you next time.